Episode 79 of the TV Dudes podcast, recorded April 28th, 2016. Sundays are back. All right, guys, we are back.
Yep.
And we are talking about HBO.
It was
funny because it's almost like all the other networks just kind of cleared the decks because they knew.
It's like,
nothing new, nothing up, no sports on.
It's because they all wanted to watch it. They all wanted to watch Game of Thrones.
It's like we want nothing up there. So Sunday night was HBO's on its own.
Well, yeah. HBO bringing out Game of Thrones and Silicon Valley and Veep on the same night.
And then bringing on probably the hottest person in America on John Oliver's show.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Yeah. With Lin-Manuel.
Hamilton.
From
Hamilton, yeah.
And then on top amazing. Of that, the night before debuting Beyonce's Lemonade.
Actually,
you know what? Did you guys watch that?
No, I haven't.
I don't get it.
Ooh, I watched it. It was impressive.
Yeah, she's not my cup of tea, but I like the way she can.
She's not my cup of tea either.
But I like the way she can culturally move the needle and everything she does. First of all, I love the way she just drops it without saying anything, which I love that. And I just think it's just funny because HBO, like, I don't know. We always get worried about HBO. It's like, oh, you know, I don't know, outside these shows, and this, John from Cincinnati and Vinyl isn't that good, blah blah blah. And then HBO is kind of like, Yeah, just shut up. Just wait. You never see them panicking. Quote, Beyonce's husband, they just brush it off the shoulder or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is that what he does about all his accusations of infidelity?
He just brushes it off his shoulder?
I think the best thing I saw was it looks like JC's got 100 palms.
Which is... from a personal note, I'm like, what is your Jay-Z? Really? I mean,
you're with Beyonce, man.
I mean, you are giving men a seriously total bad name. You're with, like, again, she's not my cup of tea, but she is like the woman that is held up in society, maybe more than Michelle Obama or Taylor Swift or whoever. Everybody goes Queen Bey and Beyonce and stuff, and you still cheat on her? Jay-Z, and with, like, allegedly, these women, I'm like, what are you? I mean, Beyonce's not my cup of tea, but she's not a bad-looking woman. I mean, what is your problem, dude?
My bigger problem, and this is going way more into the pop culture side of television. TV's pop culture.
TV's pop culture.
Right.
But why are people attacking
the women?
Alleged?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to go after someone,
it's kind of on Jay-Z.
Or it's all a fabrication because this is selling. Like, this could have just been a commentary on the role of black women.
I don't think it was fabricated.
It seemed like there were some details there.
When your sister is beating the shit out of your husband in an elevator on camera, that probably was not made up. That's not made up.
That was early planning, guys. Right?
I mean, I do think from a society, and also it kind of brings back the TV, where you're portraying like relationships that is fucking complicated. And personally, I don't really give a shit about other people's, marriages, because whatever compromises or discussions that people have in their marriages, to me, is their business. Whether you're Hillary and Bill Clinton, whether you're Barack and Michelle Obama, whether you're Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Whether you're Ted Cruz and his wife.
Whatever. Whatever happened, if the spouse, and it can go with, it's not just men and women. I mean, it can go woman to man or, whatever relationship is, whatever they've decided, they've made it out, and I don't judge anybody because I'm like, that's your decision. As long as it doesn't affect me, which I don't know, people's relationship don't really affect me, then fuck them. Who cares? But it does make great for great cinema and TV.
I will say this. I watched it. It was very poetic. It was very Terrence Malick.
Okay.
Beautifully shot. Like, amazing outfits if you're into that. And
I was pretty captivated by a lot of it, and I wouldn't necessarily say I'm the intended audience, but right. I was like, wow, this is really impressive. It's a great production. If you guys get a chance, you know, it's an hour long, and it might hold your attention at least for a good chunk.
I might give it a look.
I might give it a look, and if it's a good music, I'll maybe it'll bring me into Beyonce. I've just never been into her music, so.
Yeah. Well, with that preamble, we're the TV Dudes. I'm Grant.
I'm Randy.
And I'm Greg.
And we are discussing HBO. We already discussed Lemonade, so check that one off.
Check.
Yeah. But yeah, we got Game of Thrones, Silicon Valley, Veep, all coming back. We got Last Week Tonight just still, like, kicking ass.
Killing it.
And before we get into all of that, there's a couple other things that we want to address.
Mm-hmm.
First off, as of the recording, the release of this, there's no more time to do the nomination for the podcast awards for the TV Dudes, but we appreciate all of you who did put our name in the hat.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
We'll see if we make it on to the second round.
Yeah,
I hope so.
But thanks again for all of the support. And we also want to mention ATX Fest is coming up in the first week of June, I believe.
Yeah, we're second full weekend of June.
Okay. Well, if you guys want to go get tickets for that, that's at atxfestival.com.
And you should. It's so good.
It is awesome if you're a big fan of TV. It's great. There's a bunch of night parties. We'll be there. You can say hi to us.
Oh, yeah.
It is. I would say it is the sneaky festival. I mean, if you think South by Southwest, which is good, but it's kind of bloated now, this is the festival to really be at.
Yeah, this one's great. And the lineup this year is fantastic. Yeah. So.
And we got our press badges. We got two press badges. So, we're going to break a pool cue in half and have to fight it out for who gets to go. But that'll be a lot of fun. And let us know if you guys are able to make it out, because we're really looking forward to it.
Yes.
Also, wanted to note that Randy went to Moon Tower Comedy Fest.
I did.
Yeah.
For the second year in a row as press.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You get to do a little bit of coverage. Check it out. And we did a wrap-up, which we'll be also posting here on the site and on the feed.
Mm-hmm.
We just wanted to point you to that and go check that out. Give it a listen and find out if you haven't heard of this fest or you want to hear how it went this year. Randy and I discuss it a bit.
Also, if you really want to hear more of me, and you must.
Yes.
I was on the Mr. Roboto podcast this week discussing episode 4 of Mr. Robot.
Is it called Mr. Roboto?
It's Mr. Robot O. O-H. Like Mr. Robot O. And therefore the episode went up. I am on that one, and you can go listen to that on iTunes or at their website.
Very cool. I didn't see you share that.
I just posted it.
Yep. Oh, you did?
Yep.
Oh. Good. All right. Well, let's move on to listener questions, because we got quite a few of them. Some of them are good.
Oh, man. Wow.
I'm kidding.
That's a bad thing.
You guys are killing it with your questions. We really appreciate
Again,
it.
Again, a compliment.
Let me see. Our first question is coming to us from Cypher. Oh, this one's Game of Thrones related. Maybe I should skim it real quick.
Yeah, we'll wait till we get to Game of Thrones.
I'm going to...
We'll get to it. We should keep it for the Game of Thrones discussion.
I'm going to keep that for the discussion. That's a little bit spoilery.
Yeah.
All right, this next one comes to us from Roger McSexington, a.k.a. at R. McSexington on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Says, this summer, Showtime is premiering a new show called Roadies, which was created, written, and directed by Cameron Crowe.
Yep.
Ooh, I didn't know he's getting it.
Have you not seen this trailer?
Yes, no. I have.
Oh, it's killer. I love it.
Reading about it made me realize how rare it is for notable film personalities to be the main creative force behind a TV show. The closest example I can think of are Steven Soderbergh for The Nick and Guillermo del Toro for The Strain. But even then, Soderbergh is involved with the direction of The Nick and not the writing, while del Toro seems to be way too busy to be involved with The Strain much. With this new show, it seems like Cameron Crowe will be the main creative lead for the whole project, which is the first time I can think of a major film writer, director really filling that role for a TV show. My question to you is, are there any film director/writers you'd like to see fully in control of a TV series?
Have we not seen? I feel like there's been a little more crossover than that.
I think his point, though, is that Cameron Crowe is like basically going to be was on
it's his
set.
Thing,
it's
yeah.
his thing. I mean, obviously Scorsese will have a cup of coffee with Boardwalk Empire and Vinyl, but it's not like Scorsese's in it every episode.
And what's his name? David Slade with House of Cards.
Now, Soderbergh is a little more involved than he may not write. I mean, Soderbergh's the one who got the writers and stuff. So he's actually, if you go and listen to the podcast, the Nick podcast, Soderbergh, I mean,
he's very intensely
involved. He's very intensely involved. Yeah. So it's not, I mean, he doesn't write it, but he gives notes. And I mean, they basically kind of write toward his direction with him knowing that he's going to be doing the visual cues. So.
Right.
But having said that, that hasn't done it. I mean, I think. Well, actually, think about this. Actually, what's his face? Robert Rodriguez. I mean, you think about LV. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he's got a whole network.
Yeah, but I don't think he's directing.
But no,
he's
but
not super involved.
I thought he was involved with the one.
The From Dusk Till Dawn?
Yeah, I thought he was involved.
No,
with that.
He's involved a little bit, but it's definitely still somebody else doing it.
What was that terrible Spielberg dinosaur?
Terra Nova. Yeah, Terra Nova. That was it.
But he wasn't directly involved doing it.
You know who I want to do TV?
Who?
And he's retiring in like two more movies. Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, my God.
I want a Quentin Tarantino-verse show. You know, I would love for him to do it. Wanted to be basically Pulp Fiction over the course of 13 episodes.
He needs to because he his dialogue and his movies are too long anyway. He writes almost like that opening shot for Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
With, you know, with the discussion in the French thing about the milk and stuff. It was fascinating. It was great. I'm like, what the fuck's going on with this? And had his payoff.
I love that scene.
So did I. And I like all his soliloquy scenes.
I saw Hateful Eight in the 70mm, which is a longer cut of it.
Yeah.
And there's like a minute long shot of just a stagecoach riding through the snow.
Right.
And I fucking love that shit when Tarantino does it.
He's made for TV. He really, I mean, if he does, he's probably the one guy who'll take all 24 episodes instead of 12.
That's my answer. I want Tarantino to do a TV show.
Did you have someone else?
Yeah, actually, who I would like really, and this is kind of interesting, one you don't think about would be Madonna's ex-husband,
Guy Ritchie. Oh, hell yeah.
I'd want Guy Ritchie to do one because to me, he's got like the visual cues, and he'll have moments in his films. Like, even the Sherlock Holmes movies, there's moments that I would think if he had more time to write and character develop, also because he gets great actors, I think he could really do some really cool shit. So.
Also, some of his movies have tanked pretty hard, so maybe he'll need to go to TV.
Yeah, it would be nice.
What about J.J. Abrams, man? I love his
movies.
You think
that guy should do TV?
I don't know.
Some pretty cool TV.
I don't know.
Didn't he come from TV, seriously?
Yeah, he did.
I think he's lost it.
Oh!
Get out! Get the fuck out of your own house.
Man, you set that up, though, man. That was a good
boy.
One.
All right, our next question comes from... Kyle Volpe and Michael Gassini both kind of asked a similar question. We'll start with Michael Gassini, who says, Valar Morghulis, TV dudes. With the epic failures of Vinyl and True Detective Season 2, the cancellation of Togetherness, and the impending end of Girls, the Leftovers, and Game of Thrones, my question is this. What the hell will HBO do now? If you were hired as HBO's executives in charge of programming, what strategy would you come up with to breathe new life into this dying network? Dying network. What types of shows would you greenlight? What creative teams would you hire? I mean, this is an epic question.
Yeah.
He says, I would love to see them do a sci-fi show with a budget and scale of Game of Thrones, perhaps a Mass Effect adaptation. Thanks, as always, for the quality entertainment. And then hitting on Kyle's question, he says basically the same. With the end of Game of Thrones in sight, how would you fill its shoes in 2 years?
They've already done it. I mean, one of the things that they've done, which I think is smart, is they've gone with picking up where Jon Stewart left off and kind of sliding Stewart in. Because remember, one of the things when
Stewart's show is going to hit before the elections do.
Yeah. So when he left, he kind of moved. He's kind of shadow in HBO, but his stuff is there. So the stuff with Bill Simmons' network, the stuff with the Vice network that's coming up, I do think that's part of it that's smart. And also they can really engage with HBO Go or HBO Now, which I think is smart. And as far as they still got the David Simon porn 70s thing.
But the thing is, Greg, the point they're making, I think it's worth addressing, is that none of that is for the Game of Thrones audience.
Right.
None of those. The Game of Thrones audience, some of it's crossover. Like, we crossover into that stuff.
Westworld
was their attempt at it. And I mean, maybe it'll come through. I mean, Game of Thrones had some difficulties early in its development, too. But it's not a good sign that they haven't been able to launch it.
Yeah,
because Westworld should be their thing. Mm-hmm. I do think George R. R. Martin came out and said that he was curious about doing the Dunk and Egg stories, the ones that are sort of pre Game of Thrones in that world.
Yeah,
and I think they'd be smart to do that because I think once Game of Thrones ends, people are going to be hungry for a little more of that world, and there's stuff waiting there to do.
Yes and no, because
I think they should just let it be.
I do too,
because if think about this. They did it with The Wire. They did it with The Sopranos. Because remember when The Sopranos were leaving, it was like, woe is us. You know, when, it's revisionist history to say when The Wire was ending, people were like all up in arms. They weren't. Because people weren't watching the show.
I mean, everyone wanted a spinoff from Dream On, and we never got it, too.
Dream Off.
Yeah, where's that one?
I'm just saying, guys, that's the fetus talk. Because with that kind of talk, you're never going to get yourself a Galactica 1980.
Ooh. That's fighting words. But I guess my thing is that I'm not worried about HBO. I mean, I just like, okay, the comedy coming up this summer with The Vice Principals.
Yeah.
With Danny McBride and
Walton Goggins.
Even if it's bad, it looks funny.
Yeah.
Ballers is actually better than most people think it is.
Yeah.
And that's coming in season 2.
I hope that gets a better...
But again, the thing is, publicity. They've got... Their comedy's still pretty on point. Right. But as far as their drama stuff goes, Vinyl was a big hit not to hit as well as it did.
Right.
I mean, that's a problem.
But they're going
to
give it a second season.
But...
They would be smart to keep...
They need something for the Game of Thrones fan. I think a Mass Effect, if they could do a Mass Effect show, I don't think they can, but that is one that would be good.
I think they need to...
What should they do?
So they have Lindelof ending his show.
Right. Yeah.
If they can keep that guy and give him a new show
and
let him do something, maybe that's not as emotionally personal for him, so it becomes too melancholy for most audiences. But still has a lot of his flair for fun adventure mythology sci-fi.
I don't know what is
in the world of Lost.
What is now Lost? Lost wouldn't succeed for HBO.
Wait a second, though.
Lost was of its time,
but he could do something in the vein.
But even Lost, I mean, Lost was successful at the time, but Lost was just like Leftovers in a way. It was very character driven. When Lindelof tries to go big budget sci-fi, we get Prometheus.
Maybe there's a lot of cooks. He wasn't overseeing the final.
But it was his script.
It was his and that other dude's script.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure that he can do the crowd. I think that it may not be in his heart to do the crowd pleasing stuff.
I will fight you.
I'm just saying.
Throwing Prometheus at his feet.
His strengths may not be the strengths they need.
But I think we're looking at it differently. Is that I think what the question is looking at it from the other side. It's like. Game of Thrones didn't, I mean, genre people, they will gravitate to anything, give it a chance. I mean, that seems to be happening.
Yeah.
But what takes Game of Thrones is like, it's got elements of great HBO shows, the drama. That's why when it was first done, it's like Sopranos and whatever. They always compare stuff to Sopranos or that basically family fighting drama.
Yeah.
So whatever they wrap it into, as long as it says something like that, I think the people who are Game of Thrones people, which quite frankly is more, if it was just a genre show, it wouldn't.
No, but they wouldn't do just a genre show.
So I think
they need a genre show they can put the HBO spin on. And if it were me, I think I would go back to literature. I would go to Isaac Asimov's robot novels.
Ooh, you
or
know what?
Foundation.
I'm reading this book called 70s right now, which I think could be a fantastic adaptation.
Yeah.
It's very much in the vein of it's grounded like realistic sci-fi,
right?
In the vein of like The Martian, which is how I stumbled upon it,
right?
Yeah.
And if they took a sci-fi approach. In the vein of The Martian and like really took their time with exploring all these characters,
series,
building this
new
sci-fi world in that direction. I think that could appease both audiences.
Well, Grant, I think what you should be that person, because I think what HBO kind of needs to do is kind of really go and develop some more talent, because as much
they need me to adapt that into a
exactly,
script.
Exactly, Grant. That's what I'm saying, because as Terrence Winter, you know, might be, I mean, for him getting kicked off of Vinyl, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it's huge because he's in a relationship with them for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's like kicking off David Simon off the show, which is like, that's not good.
Yeah.
So, but I think part of it is kind of like going back to bad sports analogies, you need to develop your bench. And other than, oh my God, True Detective guy, the new
Nick Pizzolatto.
Other than him as like a visionary showrunner, where are they? Maybe, or like also, you know what would be nice? A female. Like, who's the woman who did Hurt Locker? I'm telling you.
Catherine Bigelow?
Like,
give her a show, for God's sake.
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody like her, especially with the, you know, with what's going on with the mess that the Middle East is in anyway.
Yeah.
Instead of doing like a bad comedy about it with Jack Black, maybe have somebody who really investigates it and dramatizes it, almost like a better version of Homeland. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm. So I would love to see them doing, or dare I say, like some African American or Asian or other type of voices that are out there that I would like to see them develop.
Don't say that.
I have
That would be great.
I have two more quick pitches.
Yeah.
One is a book I got for my birthday. I haven't read yet. It's a series called X-Heroes that is a superhero world where basically all the superheroes got turned into zombies. And it's like this this last-ditch group of superheroes trying to hold off the zombie superheroes.
Marvel zombies?
Walking Dead meets superheroes for at HBO. That seems to me like a crowd pleaser.
Yes.
The second one, and I'm really excited about this one.
No.
They're married to themselves.
Oh, boy. Hey, speaking of, of pitches, Ty Comstock asks, what do you think the special sauce is that makes Game of Thrones currently the best show on television? What do you think other shows could take away from Game of Thrones to make themselves better?
They could steal their cast. They could steal their budget, and they could steal Benioff and Weiss.
Right.
Those are the three things I think are biggest. That's their biggest advantages, I think. And also, they could steal the directors.
Yeah.
Because Game of Thrones is some of the best directors
so
in the business.
So basically, hire good talent.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. Their talent. I mean, the answer to what their magic formula is great acting talent, damn near perfect casting, big budgets, beautiful design. Every aspect, every department of that show is just on point.
I think what HBO's I've always...
Throw a shit ton of money at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is where I'm not quite sure I understand the finances, because I'm like, HBO still, I mean, they're a pay subscription. I do wonder how much money they have and stuff. But part of it is like, you got to realize too that like a lot of these cable channels have been around for like 30 years.
Yeah.
So HBO, if you go do like Wikipedia HBO and look at all their shows, you're like, holy shit, I forgot they did this. I forgot they did that. You know? So I think part of it with HBO is that they've been doing it a very long time and they've been doing it very well.
Right.
I do think that take chances. That's the other thing. It's like a lot of networks don't take chances.
Yeah.
I mean, FX, outside of HBO, let's see, Showtime's, because even if you, like Showtime, FX, AMC, even if you fail, like, okay, Halt and Catch Fire at AMC, the first season was like, whatever, second season a lot better.
Yeah.
Turn. Now I'm like, fuck, because of the whole thing, like the presidential thing. I'm like, maybe I'm going to go watch Turn because I didn't give it the, you know, I did not give it the amount.
Turns on what, season 8 now?
Yeah. I'm just saying it's like you kind of have to take a chance and stick with it. And a lot of networks, for whatever reason, maybe it's financial or maybe there's like they've got, you know, staff that keeps changing as far as talking heads. I mean, not talking heads, but like the money people.
Yeah.
There's no vision. So
no, that's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Neither Game of Thrones nor Walking Dead was a sure thing. They both seem like long shots.
Right.
Yeah.
A long-running fantasy series and a show about zombies. Neither one of those are something the money people went, oh, this is definitely going to be huge.
Right. So you got to have some balls.
Yeah, basically. Have some balls and some money and some talent.
And some money.
And some money.
More money. And I have money again.
Greg, you're the only reason I ever remember that Turn exists.
It's because I watch AMC for – I'm actually watching that, you know, that Night Manager thing. And they keep running those fucking ads, man.
What I'm saying is stop reminding me that Turn exists.
Also, Hell on Wheels is having its final season.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Hell I could have done without remembering
it's
that what, one, too.
It's, I think it's season 10,
well,
season 12.
Well, you know what, Randy, let me go to the juggler with you. Okay. Terrier.
I know.
Got one.
I know.
And – oh my God! The FX Middle East show is on season three. Tyrant got three seasons.
Yeah, I know.
I liked it. I'm like, I'm surprised they got three seasons. It's ridiculous.
Yep. Terriers.
Actually, you know what? Kind of go back to the last question. Give Sean Ryan something on HBO. How about?
Yeah,
why not? Let
Sean
him do Terriers.
Sean Ryan would be right on HBO.
Just give him carte blanche and give and maybe mold Sean Ryan a little bit.
Or maybe just let him do Terriers again on HBO.
I would love
Come
to.
On.
Why not? Hold your cat behind and click. Exercise your right to pretend this, but don't forget to show everybody you've ever known. When you're old and wise, you'll find all the shots you got. Bring back the time, it's easy to believe. Yesterday was so sweet. It's pretty great. Photos let me take all the sights I see. Food I eat everywhere with me. The better to be.
solve myself. Hold your cat behind and click, exercise your right. Tip it to this, but don't forget to show everybody you've ever known. When you're old and wise, you'll find all the shots you got. Bring back the time, it's easy to believe. Yesterday was so sweet.
All right, so we got a little bit of news we're just going to burn through real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So the Twin Peaks cast list is up, the revival. And the thing from, I think it's screenrant.com
mm-hmm.
or /film.com says that the complete revival cast feels like a practical joke.
It's huge.
Okay. Wait. Funny story. I am friends. I went to high school with a girl, Tracy
mm-hmm.
Phillips,
mm-hmm.
who's the daughter of Wade Phillips.
Oh, really?
The coach, the Broncos
coach.
Yeah. Yeah, we went to Elitch Gardens once.
Interesting. Okay.
And she now runs a burlesque show in,
what?
And she does choreography for So You Think You Can Dance, all this kind of thing. Uh-huh. And the reason I bring this up now, mm-hmm. she's on this cast list.
Well, I actually, so.
I know someone who is going to be in Twin Peaks.
So do
there's
I.
like 270 people on this cast.
So we all, you say everyone knows someone who's going
to
be.
Yeah. I do too, seriously. Krista Bell, who used to sing for 8½ Souvenirs in Austin, who I've met a few times, very nice lady. She's been working with David Lynch and some weird music film stuff that I don't think
you know.
That's
I have to confess, guys. I haven't actually read the whole. Is it possible? Am I? I'm not in the Twin Peaks revival, am I?
Oh shit! Let me check that.
I haven't checked the whole list.
You know what? There's a message
did sign
on my phone.
That waiver, right? There's a camera right over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, but I can't do it. I got a cheese.
Oh, this is.
That's a weird.
That's a weird joke.
Oh. That's a joke for the three of us.
Right. That's what that message on my phone was. Damn it. It was David Lynch. I didn't know
yeah,
who
that's
that
right.
was.
You're going to be in Twin Peaks, Greg.
That'd be cool.
Michael Cera is going to be in it.
Sure. Playing Scott Pilgrim.
He's my best buddy. So
right.
there's my link.
So you're in
right.
there. Yeah.
Right. Cool. What else we got?
All right. Moving on. The Leftovers season 3. We'll move to Australia.
No.
No. Mm. They're still going to shoot some in Austin, Grant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try my damnedest mm-hmm. to still be an extra. Mm-hmm. We'll
but
see.
If you've been paying any attention to Leftovers, and Grant, I will hunt you down if you haven't, because it's a great show.
Right.
Greg, we're going to hunt you down.
Yes.
They've been making a lot of noise about Australia. Something's been going on in Australia.
Yeah.
So it makes sense for the third season to go down and be like, hey, what's going on in Australia?
Mm-hmm.
I hope that it's going to be Crocodile Dundee 3.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping
that's
lost in L.A.
That's right. The big twist.
Right.
Yeah, that would be in L.A.
Yeah.
They had a Crocodile 3.
Oh, okay. Crocodile Dundee 4.
So they didn't make that, did they? I think that's the one with the secret of the ooze.
Yeah, that's right.
So they'll be pulling big knives out.
Yeah.
No, that's a knife.
But yeah, so we'll probably, they're going to start in Austin, but we are going to get to Australia and see, hey, what's going on? So all that talk that Lindelof had about how you're not really going to get an answer, we may get some answers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Give us answers.
But we may not be happy with all of them.
Right.
Fucking Australians
yeah.
stole 2% of the entire world's population.
We needed them for the Bobby. That was my Australian. I got nothing.
They become cannibals.
Yes.
Right.
All right. This will excite. Greg will be more excited about this, though.
Yes.
24 Legacy has been ordered to series by Fox.
Yes. I don't even care. I don't want to see any. I don't care about the casting. I just want to see what. I'll watch it. Even
the,
I'll give it
the lead
episode.
Is somebody good.
No, it
I
is.
Can't remember
it
who
is.
It is.
The guy he was in Walking Dead, and he was also in Straight Outta Compton. He played Dr. Dre.
Right.
Oh, and
right,
he was
right.
black, so he's not on Walking Dead anymore.
I think he's actually still on it right now.
Well, then we know.
Oh,
where
you
that's
mean
going.
The guy from?
He's got the dreads
yeah,
and the glasses.
Yeah. Oh, that's so weird. He's got such a... Yeah.
He looks quite a bit different
yeah.
than
no, yeah.
his Dr. Dre role.
Yeah, he's still...
But he's black and he's on Walking Dead, so he's going to be freed up real soon, because we know that's how it works.
That's why he signed... He said, okay, I know
like,
my
you know what? Let me do 24, because I know these people are going to kill me off.
But yeah, it's going to be cool. I mean, anything in the 24 world I like, so...
He has... His eyes are a little bit too pretty for him to be like an angry Jack Bauer.
Maybe he's going to go a different direction. Maybe he's going to be dreamy Jack Bauer.
Hey,
maybe he's just always going like, to be all like, hey, I'm sensitive and listening
no,
to your
like,
problems.
Hey, buddy, tell me where the bomb's at.
Yeah.
Now, hey, listen, they toughened up Freddie Prinze Jr., okay? So they could tough up anybody, all right? They toughened up Sean Astin. They gave Sean Astin...
They toughened up Sean Astin.
They gave him one of the best death scenes on the show. So I have every confidence... That was still one of the weirdest death scenes.
Yeah, I'm excited for 24 Legacy as right. well. That the callback miniseries they did, I thought was really fun.
Oh, I loved it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Wet Hot American Summer, 10 Years Later series ordered by Netflix.
Yes.
Right.
The prequel was so weird mm-hmm. because they were all, what, 10 years older, 20 yeah. years older, and they're playing their younger teenage selves. Yeah. And I thought it was hilarious. But I'm really curious, like, what's going to happen 10 years later to all these people?
Because now, is this mm-hmm. 10 years after the movie?
10 years after the Wet Hot American Summer movie, yeah, mm-hmm. where they were all like college-age kids yeah. at a summer camp.
So now they're going to be playing themselves like themselves. 30 years.
In their 30s. Yes, 10 years younger than they are. Yeah. Which is, you know, whatever. But I just want to know, what happened to all those people when they got... Are we going to see their real lives? Is it going to be like a camp reunion?
Sweet. Camp reunion I don't know. Would be great.
The cast is so good, they can do whatever, and I'm on board.
I mm-hmm. loved the show. I'm really excited about that.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, let's move on to talking about actual HBO shows then.
Yeah.
Ooh. So we're going to start with the comedies. We're not going to go in order of airing. We're going to talk about the comedies first and then get to Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Yep.
And first one we're going to discuss, Silicon Valley.
Oh, man.
I love this
Stephen
show.
Stephen Tobolowsky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to be so good.
Yes, he is.
Now... He's playing like very much a straight man in
yes.
this.
But I think we know there's going to be more to him than that.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
But so far, he's the guy who knows how to talk to everybody. He knows the only thing he needs to do to get Ehrlich Bachman on
that
board
was great.
Is to pronounce Aviato correctly.
Yeah.
Aviato. Watching him going back and forth, saying that. When he was like, first of all, that list of old man jokes
yeah.
was awesome
yeah.
and funny, and the way he delivered it, and then all of a sudden, Aviato.
He looks at his yeah. hand for
yeah.
another one.
Yeah. Yeah. A little cute. That was great. And then he talked to Richard, and he's like, well, I mean, he knows what yeah. to give people, and that probably means that if he knows how to manipulate them,
he's going to manipulate them. Right.
And they're going to figure it out at some point. But I also loved, my favorite thing about this was the Rigby.
Yeah.
Whenever they use their programming tactics to deal with real world issues, like they didn't want to keep saying Richard's great and all, but
yeah.
so they came up with an acronym that's like the run program they put in front of it.
Yeah.
And they just kept getting more and more pissed. And I love Martin Starr and I love Camille Nanjiani, and they were great together.
I mean, ever since the whole should we kill him or not, tell him
yes.
that whole thing
yes.
was
and the dicks.
And the dicks, the all dicks. That stuff. I'm like, these guys I think Mike Judge, he's really tapped in the way. If anybody out there has ever really met coders, this is the way they are. They're interesting people, but they have definitely
except they're not this funny.
Yeah, some of them can be, but they have this weird kind of code of way of talking.
Yeah.
And you really get inside their heads in the show without like dehumanizing them or like making them a caricature. And I love this show.
Yeah, it's not like Big Bang Theory where it's like insulting.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Hey, I love Big Bang Theory. I watch every episode twice.
Get the fuck out of your own house.
Yeah,
I watched it in between reviewings of Real Rob.
Right, right.
Oh. Well, then you have to do a review first.
My issues with Silicon Valley, and I thought it was, I think the status quo they're setting up is interesting. Mm-hmm. I love Gavin Belson and what a douchebag he is.
Of course.
And how he gets away with being, he fires everybody and he gets to be the hero.
Yeah.
I love the way they sort of skew how people look at what's actually going on in the business world. But I do think there are two problems in the show.
Okay.
One is, I'm not sure the big head stuff comes – like big head's interesting, but I'm not sure how much you can do with a guy who's so dumb he doesn't realize what's going on in his life. Like he's so dumb as to be unbelievable, I think.
Oh, like him not even realizing
like he doesn't,
it was 20 million?
Yeah. Like, I mean, everything he's been through, he hasn't figured out that he's being manipulated ever. This guy's supposed to be I mean, he's supposed to be smart enough to be an engineer. But
there's not enough interesting. He's an empty shell upon in his own life.
They need to find something to do with
it. They haven't developed him. I do think, though, that guy exists in Silicon Valley.
Oh, sure.
Because we've met them. You're like, how the fuck is this guy $20 million rich?
Yeah.
Because he just happens to step into shit, you know, and he just happens to be there. But we wish they kind of developed his character more.
Yeah.
And, like, especially the interplay, because it started with him and Richard anyway. And they didn't – they totally separated that. And then even when he was at Hooli – they should have like had more interactions with Hooli going against Pied Piper.
Yeah.
And I think that's where his character got left to the dust. But hopefully I trust the show will fix it.
And the other issue I have, and it's a bigger issue, is they are not doing well by women. This has been a bro show since the beginning. And Monica is not a good character. I like the actress, but they have not given her a consistent character in 2.5 seasons now.
That's true. The lack of women otherwise in Silicon Valley is just
yeah,
sadly accurate.
I mean, it's accurate, but I. But the,
although
the,
there should probably be more.
The
Asian.
Rare female well, characters, yeah, yeah. The yeah, rare right female characters they have, are not that great. Yeah. Like the female the woman they had who was like part of their group was like the hacker that they hired. I liked that
they
character.
Should have kept her,
and they should have kept her. She was, yeah, she was more lively than either. And I like was it Cryer who's playing the
Suzanne Cryer.
Laurie. I like Suzanne Cryer. But her character is like so one note, and I feel like there's more you can do. If you're going to have that few women in the show, you need them to be good characters, and they're not there.
It's terrible.
Like she was just trying to emulate
the previous guy,
the guy
who died.
Yeah. He was a little bit robotic, and yeah, she is too.
This is crazy. So I'm looking at the cast and crew, and it's like, wow, there are just two women. There's
it's a dude show.
And Amanda Crew, yeah, who plays Monica.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, somehow you need it, it's hard because, you know, we're kind of joking around with that term. What was it? The something with the social justice thing?
Social justice warriors.
Right.
Yes.
Now, if you are trying to accurately project a world, and it's the way the world really is, I think the thing that they don't do is they don't abuse them, which is what happens. I have a friend of mine who in San Francisco works at Silicon Valley.
Yeah, we're at least not seeing that.
Yeah, she – and it's like every day. It's like – it's terrible.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know what else you can say. It's like me complaining about
Friends.
No. Actually, or girls. Wait,
know,
no,
just
not
set
that,
you up for that.
No,
one.
No. But it's like me complaining about Mad Men not having enough black people. I'm like, well, you know, it's in the 60s. I mean, what do you want?
Yeah, but at least – there was a bit more commentary on the fact that it was a very white world.
I just think,
but I think that's why it's still a problem in Silicon Valley. I don't think they see it that way.
Like, they addressed it like in the first couple episodes. Yeah. They would make jokes about like it's like all dudes and they don't even know how to interact with women.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, you know, Silicon Valley or realism or not, if you have one or two female characters and that's it on your show,
you need to develop.
At least make them interesting because they're just not serving those characters well.
You're right.
Yeah. And I think that's a problem. Yeah. But it's a great show. I mean, I don't want to say, I don't want to leave off on, oh, well, they're female characters. It's a great show and it's
still
really funny.
Knee slapping.
It has some issues, but it's really fun.
Mm. Well, let's jump over and talk about Veep.
Where a woman is totally in charge.
Oh, yeah.
A woman is in charge. But, I mean, I still feel like it's a lot of dudes in that show.
Yeah, but Selena Meyer is such a force, and it is such Julia
and Anna Chomsky.
Yeah, it's so much their show.
Yeah,
and Sue's fantastic.
I love her.
Minimally used, but maybe that's for the best.
But the secret weapon of this show, and I'm surprised, is Jonah.
Oh no!
The more they do to Jonah, the funnier I find him. Well, getting him, having him demoted under the guy that he brought in was such a perfect thing to happen to Jonah. Yeah.
But the funny thing is too is how quickly he flipped.
Oh sure,
and he goes back and forth. Yeah. It's so great. And then Jonah ends up getting his own personal assistant anyway for no reason.
Yeah, yeah, because he's Jonah.
And they're all in a stupid office.
I love how much of a douchebag Jonah is, and I still love seeing him every time he shows up.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And Tony Hale's character. I love how he also just gets shit
just
on.
Absorbs abuse.
Yeah, he's fine with it.
Yeah.
In fact, he seems to almost get off of being just abused.
And Kevin
all
Dunn.
The time.
Kevin Dunn and Gary Cole both joining being regulars. They're both great.
Okay, it's kind of like when you used to watch Law and Order. You know Lenny Briscoe's going to get the droll line.
Yeah.
And he always made you laugh. You knew it was coming. Every time Kevin Dunn opens his mouth, I'm like, he's going to give me the line that I'm going to wish I said or something I'm going to steal. And it's just – he's so fucking funny. And he delivers it so many different ways. And I'm like, I love watching him. I just love him.
You know how most of us have like a short process where like a thought comes into your head and then you process it and then you speak it?
Yeah.
Kevin Dunn's character does not have that filter.
Yeah. He just
goes right through it. He says it and it's always just biting and mean and perfect.
I'm so impressed with how deep the bench is here. They have Hugh Laurie in. They have Diedrich Bader in.
Hey, they bring
Diedrich Bader, man. That was terrible. It's so funny.
And you saw the clip of who they're bringing in. John Slattery.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's coming in as, like, I guess, some kind of love interest, which is perfect.
Yeah.
Nice.
Perfect casting.
So the show... I lost my train of thought.
We had our showrunner disappear on us.
Yes.
That's what I was going to bring up.
Right. Inucci's gone. Mm-hmm. And that caused some concern. I mean, Inucci's voice is very much part of Veep.
Right.
They didn't lose a step.
Nope.
Yeah. The rest of the writers have it down.
It's just as profane, just as boundary pushing. It's really smart. And I love they've pushed a show to, is this season four?
Five
of someone being the Veep, and they've managed to put, like, she was president for a while, and now they put her in a situation where she might wind up being the Veep to her own Veep. And right. they've messed with the politics, and it's all believable. It's like when West Wing was on.
Yeah.
It's like, it didn't necessarily need to be exactly what would happen.
Right.
But it was like, oh, this is the weirdest extremes that our political system handles.
Yeah.
And let's see what would happen if that actually happened.
And I love the fact the way she shits on her own daughter all the time. now she's got this.
And now we see how it's going to bite her in the ass.
Yeah, because she's got the camera, and there was that scene in the hallway where you see her in the background.
You see her, They never noticed her, but if you were watching, you saw her.
Yeah. It is like,
it's like Ann Veal.
She
is.
Yeah, she's going to kill them, and it's going to be great. And I love Dan. Him constantly trying to figure where the next move he needs to be at, because he's Reed Scott is. That he can play, he's that nervous herky jerky guy that's like, it's like he's always on cocaine or something like that. But he plays him so well.
And
the thing is, like, I want them all to succeed and lose at the same time. I don't know why.
Yeah. No, I'm totally with you on that.
You know what I mean? It's like, I want them all to get to the height, and then I want them all to lose it and try to claw back to it. Which is, I think, which is the magic of the show, because they all get to the top, and then they get knocked down, and they got to crawl back, and they got to do things they say they never going to do to get back, because they, and which is, I think, really like real politicians.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's great to watch that process, you know?
I was kind of hoping we would see Patton Oswalt again.
Yeah.
Molesting some more
people. Oh, yeah. Now that Jonah has embraced that, you know, that whole molesting thing.
Selena is sort of, she's not super bright. She's smart. She's good at what she does.
Right.
And I like that, along with her being a screw up a lot of the time, like having no all white people at her supposed to run race.
Awesome.
Which is just perfect.
That was great.
But she got her vice president to be on, to basically be the guy who's going to sacrifice himself by just ignoring what he told her and announcing it to the public. That's a smart move.
Which happens.
Yeah, all the time.
It just happens all the time. Like, what the fuck? How did you kill me on this? You know, it was good. And I don't know. Again, I always have this thing with actors doing two different roles at the same time. But Hugh Laurie, it's like, how can you be a night manager and this whole English swabs gun dealer, and then you can still play this American politician? It's like, that dude is just, he is so good.
Yeah, this was a great episode back.
Yeah.
So, do you guys want to talk about some Game of Thrones?
No.
Worst TV
show.
Done.
That show sucks.
Yeah.
No. Well, real quickly, Last Week Tonight. I mean, we don't have to go into Last Week Tonight. We've talked about it a bunch. It's been on regularly.
Yeah.
But it was a particularly great episode.
Because they had Lin Miranda. God, what is his last name? The man.
I don't know.
Lin Miranda Hamilton.
Yeah. Wow. That's probably what people just need to call him. He's on the cover of Time this week, too.
Yeah.
And that, I've heard the soundtrack, and I read part of the book too, so like I don't know why somebody didn't think of this idea before, but him do the thing about Puerto Rico was great.
But see, that's the thing that's interesting about what John Oliver does is I love John Oliver. It always cracks me up, but it's almost like when I was watching The Daily Show, I always leave a little bit depressed because there are problems. I know a lot about the problems of the world. I'm pretty awake about what's going on.
He keeps opening our eyes.
He keeps finding more things. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even know this was going on. And now there's another thing that's terrible.
Yeah,
it's good. He's doing a public service, and he's doing it in a way that's not chiding. It's, you know, he does it with humor, but he's like, we need to fix this.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's what John Oliver has, a role that's beyond just being a comedian. And he's like John Stewart. He's self-effacing.
Right.
He's like, I'm just a goofball. I can't believe we're doing this. You know, and he would downplay how important it is. But what he's doing is important as well as being funny.
Well, I love whenever he attacks the British, like something very British.
Yeah.
That's when he really gets himself. Like, it wasn't this week. It was last week.
That was the most British thing ever.
There needs to be like a clip. I wanted to get a Vine of the guy just going, order, order, order. Just got killed there once, like five times.
Yep.
And then, the way they kicked him out of Parliament. And that's where I think the guy does his Daily Show now, Trevor Noah. Somehow, if Trevor Noah, maybe because South Africa is just so like really out there for American public.
Yeah, I don't know.
If there's some way he could tie his own culture in it and be really self-effacing and tie it to American culture, I think it would help him more.
I agree.
I don't know if John Oliver has been doing it longer and just...
I mean, that is true. John Oliver's been at it longer, and John Oliver also has been in America longer.
Right.
So he's got more of a, you know, he's in the boat.
Yeah.
Trevor Noah still basically could just go back to South Africa and be done. If he was like, you know what? Fuck this. I don't want to be living in a country with Trump.
Yeah. But if he just, but even if he did that, and that, how funny would that would be? He does that. He goes back to South Africa and he realizes, wait, South Africa is pretty fucked up too. And then he comes up to, and he comes back to Trump. That'd be a genius move that
the show could follow him.
Yeah. Okay. You're welcome. Producers of that show, but that would be great. Like if he does it over the summer or something.
Yeah.
It'd be cool. But, Oliver is in a lane. He hasn't really lost anything. He takes just enough time off, too.
Yeah.
Which I think is good.
So just enough to let us miss him. Yeah.
Let us miss him. Also, probably to really, where do we really want to attack? Almost like they get a temperature of what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we can't pile on Trump here because they're already doing this. Let's see where else we can, you know, be really unique and look at this problem from a different point of view. I think it's really fucking smart.
Yeah, I agree. And it's on HBO, so he can do language and material that other people don't do.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why I have faith in HBO.
You want to talk about Game of Thrones?
Let's talk about Game of Thrones.
It's an awesome show.
So,
that show on TV.
Spoilers for season 6.
Oh, yeah.
And spoilers. The books that haven't come out yet.
Yeah,
and are never coming out. I'm sorry. It's true.
Before we get into this, I wanted to say that there's been a bunch of people who were down on the previous seasons.
I know. I've seen that. Yeah.
I can understand why, because... I mean, the whole Davos stuff, I kind of get why people weren't into that.
Davos is a little bit boring.
It's a little, but it's just like
Daenerys is like continues to kind
just
of
wandering the world around and just,
like, it's like, are you going to take a more active role here?
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm in the tank for the show, so yeah. I will let that go.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we all will.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love this show. I love season 5.
Right.
Yeah.
But I can understand why other people.
Yeah.
Wouldn't stand for that.
Well, and we've discussed this before, mm-hmm. but season 5 is a reflection of a lot of the problems they had in books 4 and 5, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it was season 3 and 4 were splitting up book 3.
Right.
So 4 and 5 were kind of consolidated into last season.
Yeah.
Somewhat, there's going to be a little bit of bleed over into this season as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that there was some problems of storyline, and they actually dropped a bunch of stuff. They cleaned some stuff up that was also boring.
Yeah,
and they might fix like this Victorian stuff.
That's,
I don't know.
That's the thing that drives me crazy. I see the people who've read the books are commenting on the show, and like, if they just followed the book, season 5 would have been much better. I'm like, no, we'd be 3 more seasons of boring shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I don't want more of the books. I want them to go blaze their own trail, and I think we're going to get more exciting that way because they're focused on wrapping up the story, which George R. R. Martin does not seem to give a shit about.
Right.
Yeah. That's
a good point.
So first thing we got to discuss. Opening is Jon Snow.
The opening scene.
Dead.
Which is great.
That dude's dead.
He's only mostly dead. He's going to be back. We know he's going
to
be back.
Let's jump to a question real quick.
Okay, right, sure.
Cypher asks us, wise and noble masters of TV, can we all just admit that Jon Snow will return this season to Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Yes, of course.
Yes, of course.
My question to you is, which episode will he return? In my opinion, he will return in episode 7 when fans start to sweat.
No. Oh, you think he's going to go that long?
I don't think he's going to go that long.
I don't think so either, but it would be amazing if they did. I mean, they do have a tendency to wait till later in the season to drop a big bomb.
I just can't see them taking that long. I actually was thinking 2 or 3 to kind of get it out of the way. Because what they did, for a show to like kill off or apparently kill off a very popular character. And
Ned
then,
Stark.
Yeah. Well, no. But I mean, Ned Stark, though, I mean, he only had one season. So I'm talking about Jon Snow built up and then boom, he's gone. But then the fact that, you know, okay, everybody's looking at, okay, the actor, you know, we all know that Kit is still on set, so that he's going to be.
Yeah, but he could be lying there as a corpse the entire time.
But the thing is, the way for either fans just don't give a shit about, like, because I'm comparing to what happened with Glenn, you know, in Walking Dead. Either fans just don't care and are going to go with it, or HBO did something and the producers did something to really kind of just keep it really going. And I don't know if that was from the book or whatever, but however it is, it's working. But I think now that it's actually on, that I don't think they can really let that go for too much longer. So I'm thinking to second or third episode.
Is anyone actually mad? That's the thing about, I don't think they talked about this on Andy Greenwald and Chris Ryan. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody's actually mad that they killed off Jon Snow. Like when they fake killed Glenn, there was a bunch of people who were mad. Oh, spoilers for Walking Dead.
I think there's some disappointment about Jon Snow. I mean, they've built up this great hero arc for him.
Yeah.
And they have him being at the front lines of a very big impending battle.
Sure, sure.
And so he is an important character.
But there's two, I think there's two reasons why nobody cares, kind of. A, they've done it before. I mean, they got rid of all the Starks in a very bad way.
Yeah.
And that, so once you get through that, then I think that's where that show really turned. For people who didn't read the books, it's like, oh, you killed off all these people? Oh, this is some real shit. And I think that drew people in.
Yeah.
And the second reason is that, you know, this show is a deeper, the stories are just deeper. I mean, with Glenn in Walking Dead, it gets to be kind of ridiculous that only certain people are stupid enough or get caught in a situation where they get eaten by zombies.
Yeah.
How that could happen to, you know, the main character seems to be a little more ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think killing off Ned Stark sort of set off the, oh, nobody is safe. And really, unless they killed off Tyrion or Daenerys, or Arya.
Yeah.
I think as long as those three are safe, they could kill off whoever they want. Would you? Because I'm not sure.
Do you remember reading the book and getting to this scene?
Yeah.
And it was just jaw-dropping.
Yeah.
That they killed Snow.
Yeah.
It was like, what the? No.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, he's one of the safe ones.
Right.
But can I peel back a little bit of the curtain of the book?
Sure,
please do.
I'll try not to be too spoilery, but I would like to say that there's some important points that are hit in the books, like regarding resurrection of characters.
A certain character that was not resurrected in the show?
Mm-hmm. But it's very fitting that Jon Snow happens to be by Melisandre, the Red Woman.
Yeah.
Right.
And how that's the title of the episode. Because, I mean, and we have had a resurrection, I guess, of sorts in this show, but with the Mountain.
The Mountain.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a different thing. But we've also had, remember, Beric? Wasn't it Beric? The guy, the guy who worshipped the red, the flame, the Lord of Lord of Light?
That's in the books. Right.
Was that not? No, that was in the show. They talked about him being, that he died and came back.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Did that happen in the show?
Yeah. He got killed in the duel with the Hound.
That's right.
And then he came back to life.
That's
so we know the Lord of Light can resurrect people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So they have
established that.
This.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that's why.
And that's very important.
Okay, yeah. So I guess I do wonder if Robert's son's going to ever come back.
In the books, he's a major character, and I do wonder if they've left that.
Yeah,
they decided that was a threat they didn't want to mess with.
Yeah, because I still keep wondering when he's going to circle. Like he's in that boat. When is that boat going to circle back, and he's going to come back in to kind of really throw the wrench in the throne plan?
Do you think he might show up in what is it, Marine?
Yeah.
And run into Tyrion, because that's sort of what aligned with some of the books a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, because I believe in the books they had some other bastard of
they were
parading toward King's Landing in order to put him up as, like, you know, this is actual rightful heir.
Yeah, right.
Because these are bastards with blonde hair or whatever.
Right.
Right.
Now, with the other part of the story.
Well, you're killing me about who didn't get resurrected. I want to know. You can tell me out there, but I want to know.
We can tell that, right? That's not a big spoiler.
What if it ends up happening later?
I don't think it's going to happen. Okay, we'll talk about off mic. Just remind us.
We'll discuss it off mic, and if anyone else wants to know, you can look it up.
You can look it up.
But with Melisandre, we get what has been some fan speculation for a bit, but finally this reveal of, oh, she's really old.
Was that in the book?
No, it's been mentioned, but it was not revealed in that way.
There's mentioned that she's older than she seems.
That was so funny. Like, Helene and I were just, like, silent. We were like, I don't know how to process this. I don't know what this means.
Yeah, it was a big ending.
I was like,
here's my question. Yeah. Melisandre's got to be doubting herself at this point, because she saw Stannis.
Yes.
And that didn't work out. She saw Jon Snow. That didn't work out. So the question is she taking all that off and resting? Is she losing a little faith?
Taking off her
glamour?
Yeah.
Glamour.
Or is she taking it off to conserve her power to bring Jon back?
I mean,
that's a good question.
I feel like she's kind of beaten down and
depressed. That's a sense I got.
And hopeless at that point.
Yeah.
but she's going to come back and write, right?
Sure.
It reminded me of, like, it must be what, like, Jeb Bush must feel like. Like, come on. I thought Stannis was going to be, I was going to be the King of Thrones, and I got my ass kicked. Oh, no.
So he just takes off his neck, and he's sulking in some...
Can we jump to Dorne for a minute?
Yes, please.
Because I've seen a lot of complaints about Dorne. A lot of people...
Because last season it was boring as fuck. Off the wall,
and a lot of people did not like this guy in the books was kind of a scheming, clever guy, and here he gets outwitted by someone stabbing him. Basically, it's
sister.
And the thing is, I don't necessarily care as long as Dorne gets more interesting. That's all. Do whatever you want. Just make Dorne more interesting. Because last season was really boring.
I think it was kind of my thing is it didn't set it up. Why we should care, even though I rewatched season four and or the two seasons prior to this, because they were doing like
four and five,
so they were doing like, you know, marathons, and I get, you know, why we should care a little bit, but I for some reason, like, the way it kind of came in was really kind of out of the blue.
When
she runs down the list of grievances, I'm like, yeah, this guy deserves to die, because, you know, your sister or whatever gets her love gets killed. Your sister gets raped and badly, and you're still sitting in this chair doing nothing. So I get that, and again, I let it go because it's HBO. But I can understand why if there wasn't enough build up to that moment for people to care. And plus, I love that actress Indira Varma, so I just want to see more of her anyway. So
I'm just saying, the guy running the country, he was like Hillary. He was thinking long term. He was compromising, and that's what it gets. You get stabbed by a sand snake.
This seems like a good opportunity to remind you guys that we do a Patreon discussion over at patreon.com/TVDudes that's exclusive to anyone who donates to the show.
Yep.
And we discuss a lot of politics.
But having said that, it's like, I don't know why I'm, you know, kind of cheering for Cersei to exact.
Cersei's been really wrong. I mean, for all the bad things she's done, Cersei's done some bad,
a lot of bad things. She still lied about the thing between denying the thing with her and Jaime, with the priest guy.
But the one thing you've got to give Cersei, above and below, with all of her flaws, and she is a nasty person.
She
loves her children. And that is the one. Yeah. I mean, that is the one human weakness she had.
Right,
and she has had to feel it.
Horrible, psychotic piece of shit.
Yeah, but she loved him.
Yeah, she loved
and
him
so
both.
She watched him die in front of her.
Right,
and now her daughter, who was actually good and sweet,
that was
and the best thing
scene.
That ever came out of her, she's dead, and she believes in this prophecy, so she thinks Tommen's doomed too. That's gonna fuck anybody up.
That was a beautiful scene with her. I just loved it. With the way she's like, she's so much better. She's everything I'm not.
I mean, but
I thought it was great
to some extent. Yeah. I mean, Cersei's a bad person. Jaime's a bad person. They've done horrible things. But there's a part of you, and this is the genius of Game of Thrones, is that when the two of them, he's like, "Fuck the rest of the world.
Yes,
it's us." You're like, "Yeah,
you guys can do it." No,
yeah, but you don't really want them to.
But when they do, it's gonna be awesome. And I think the snake people or whatever, they're not going to be long for this world.
No, the question is, how much damage is Cersei and Jaime going to do in the world?
I feel like, actually, they're going to be a formidable force, because there's going to be a problem in King's Landing of them, like, spreading apart their army to fight the Sparrow and all
this. Which is going to be so cool, because, I mean, it kind of, that's what's so great about this show, because, like, all the warring factions that basically every, like, clans got to, like, fight on two fronts.
I just can't wait for the Mountain to beat some asses next week.
Yes. Yeah. That's going to be cool.
My overall impression of this first episode was that not a lot happened.
It's a peace mover. There's a lot of,
like,
peace mover.
It's weird for it to be their first episode back that is it's a peace mover.
Yeah.
But it needed to kind of remind everybody what's going on. And if we get to Arya, now come on, everybody here thought, okay, how would she react to Stick training her? Everybody thought that.
Yeah, we all thought that.
Yeah. Which was cool. And then it made me think about this one thing. I was like, would it be better to be trained by a person who's blind or a sighted person to be able to fight being blind? Because a sighted person can do things that maybe the other blind person can do. But then I thought, but then Stick will teach you how to, you know, listen to breath and shit, you know?
That other girl's got her vision back. Did you notice that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Her eyes aren't cloudy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like,
she was a blind person.
She was. Yeah. Well,
that's even better.
You can write
a
whole
blind, now she's
went through the training, and now she's paying it forward.
But
Arya ain't going to pay it forward.
No.
You could go through like a whole dissertation about, so blind people train other blind people to fight, or should it be a sighted person? But I loved every minute of it because, you know, again, it's like that reaction from her is going to come back, yeah, and just, she's going to just wreak havoc on everything.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it, though, and I guess the first episode of season 4 also, mm-hmm, kind of it had to hit on where everyone, mm-hmm, is as like, mm-hmm, a reminder for everyone. So I probably had this same complaint last season.
I'm always on board the peace moving stuff because I like seeing where everybody's at.
Right.
We also haven't talked about my favorite action scene in this whole episode.
The best action.
Brienne.
Because I should have seen it coming.
Yeah.
We knew they were in the area, but I didn't.
Neither did I.
I was like, oh, well, I know they're not. I know they're not going to recapture it. So what's going to happen here?
Right. I knew it a second before. Like, once he got caught, I was like, oh, how are they going to get? Oh, Brienne, I bet.
But I didn't know. And I mean,
and then
Brienne
shows up and just beats some ass, and Podrick gets to be a badass too.
Oh my god!
And Theon gets to pick up a weapon again.
Yeah.
And I love Podrick prompting Sansa,
yes,
on this like, yes, etiquette thing.
Yeah.
It just seemed like weird, like how she started saying it. I was like, what are you, like saying something scripted? And yeah. I was like, oh, she actually is saying something.
Yeah,
scripted.
She doesn't know, and he helps her. And
Podrick's awesome.
That was a great scene too. Sansa finally taking Brienne up on her, and Brienne finally gets to, I don't remember if it was Chris Ryan, Andy Greenwald that pointed out, or Alan Sepinwall, but somebody pointed out that Brienne has failed all her missions.
Yeah.
Like, she got Renly killed.
Right.
And then last season, she got to kill Stannis in revenge for failing Renly.
She lost Arya.
This season, she gets to get Sansa back for failing Lady Stark.
Right.
Yeah.
So she's getting redeemed herself. And as a big fan of Brienne, I thought that was super cool.
That was cool. I mean, it's that I do like also going back to the castle with the guy they were running from. I'm forgetting his name. The guy they were running from.
Oh, yeah. Ramsay Bolton.
Ramsay. But the dad's like, yeah, asshole. Any guy could have beat a bad army, but you just fucked it up because you lost this fucking girl.
Yeah.
And you, my big plan, so you need to get her ass back. Because Ramsay.
I like that where it's like, you played your games with them and you screwed up.
Yeah, dumb motherfucker. Yeah. I had this whole thing planned because I keep thinking that he's going to be the one that's going to finally get tired of Ramsay.
Yeah.
And off him. And Ramsay just, I don't know, for whatever
reason. I think Bruce Bolton legitimately loves Ramsay.
I don't know.
I think he does. I think he likes him.
Someone, one of those
two. I think he's kind of proud of this psychotic kid.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got moxie.
But I think, though, in the bigger picture, one of them is going to kill the other one or something.
Yeah,
because
probably.
They cannot exist in the same thing. Because he's going to get tired of his,
of
him.
Of his dad
dangling power, taking it away. And he's going to get tired of, like, or either they both attack each other or something like that. Because that cannot last, because you think, okay, Ramsay had this huge victory, and then of course I wasn't really thinking like, well, it was, you know, it was that army that was, they were just, anybody could beat them, but I don't know, I want to see how that dynamic plays out.
I also, the whole thing with Daenerys, the little brief scene between Jorah Mormont and the guy whose name I can never remember that Michael Cusman's playing. The line I loved,
Dario.
Right. The line I loved was, I want to see what the world looks like after she conquers it.
Yeah.
I thought that was so telling of why these guys are so so blindly obedient to her. They, in their mind, it is her world. It's her war to win, and she's gonna.
But the one thing I do have to say I didn't like was okay, you went that far, and all of a sudden you find the ring. Okay, I let it go. I thought
actually they were kind of clever about that because I was thinking, they're not gonna just stumble upon this ring.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
But how then
they had specifically the entire outline of where the horses ran around, this the only patch of grass where obviously the people were circling it, which meant that she was there.
Right, okay.
So you walk within that area and then you get the verification. I was like, that was clever.
Okay, I guess I kind of just...
Yeah, if you look at the grass, it's all kind of destroyed.
Okay, I didn't see that.
I also like getting Daenerys getting to do a rerun of her first season arc where she was basically this sort of scared, timid little girl who gets handed over to these barbarians and sort of slowly... She sort of won the call over, but she had to do it within her own way. Here, she does not give any... She's not taking any shit. She gives her whole lineage, and she's still the queen despite the fact that she has no bargaining power. Now, they laugh at her. And she's saved by sort of a ritual of the calls that she didn't know about. Right. But I like that she doesn't back down.
I didn't really enjoy the scene as much, like, as a whole.
Yeah.
But I did find it curious and I guess humorous, the banter between The guys?
I love
like, it. It was a little bit like it was comedic.
It was the Monty Python sketch. Yeah. It was the it was the what have they ever done for us? Well, they did this. It was great. It's like what is the best thing? And they're like, well, there's this, there's this.
Horses,
all right,
horses are kind of better.
It's
right?
one of the five best things. Shut up.
Exactly.
It was like, what is this horror to?
I think the telling thing though. They're sending Daenerys off to the old lady's retired Khaleesi home.
Yeah.
You got to think most of those ladies are going to be pretty badass, right? If they were Khaleesi. You think she's going to build an army of ex-Khaleesi?
Well, I don't that was the funny thing. It was like, she thinks she's having this moment. The music gets all dramatic. And the guy's like, yeah, you have a point. Yeah, you're right. You have a point. Yeah, okay. But we're going to send you to this other thing. Because, you're not going to get any power back. Yeah. But we're going to send you to this other thing.
Brawls first.
Yeah.
Like, she gets a little in a couple fights. Yeah, people try to burn her and go, she don't burn.
Yeah.
She don't burn, man. Shit. But then if we get back to the beginning of the show, something about that line, and Steppenwolf pulled it out, when the people are around Jon Snow's body.
Yeah.
And it's like, what did he say? He said, if you didn't want to die tomorrow, you're in the wrong room.
if you're hoping to see tomorrow, you're in the wrong room.
Yeah, I was like,
Dolores Ed. I like how Dolores he's going to come along.
Davos is one of the best, one of the good guys on the show, and I like him being in a position where he's sort of standing up to the Night Watch.
But I also like the way the Night Watch is like, okay, we'll give these guys a little bit of time. I mean, they need to process this. They need to process we killed their leader.
Yeah.
But we'll give them some time, and then, we'll give them the peace plan to say, listen, come in. If you come back in, we'll let you in, even though it's bullshit. But I do like the fact that they're waiting, and it wasn't like a total attack.
I can't wait for someone to stab that dude in the face. The guy who betrayed John, the guy who's been after him the whole time.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm ready for him to die.
Actually, I'm ready. He needs to get it, actually. And this is the Game of Thrones way.
Dude.
No, the little boy. Kill that motherfucker.
Little boy, man.
Kill him. That is the Game of Thrones way.
Burn that kid at the stake.
Yeah. He lost his whole family to the wildlings. You can understand where his anger comes from.
Yeah, I know. But my thing is, like, I guess maybe because it's so funny because as a viewer, we're saying, you guys don't understand these walkers, and that you guys just have not seen them, and they're trying to explain.
And nobody believes
the only reason why we're doing this is because we're all fucked. Do you understand that? Obviously, it's got to be a pretty serious reason for us to be getting together. And I love the fact that they still don't know. And
nobody does. Nobody's thinking into
And we still got these walkers coming. Yeah. You know.
Well, and the other thing, did you guys catch this? It took me a second to realize. Mm-hmm. Ramsay Bolton's talking about attacking Castle Black.
Yes.
Yeah. He mentioned, like, we could just attack Castle. Yes. Like, they're talking about attacking Castle Black. And I'm like, so basically, you're going to go fuck up your only line of defense, and then the White Walkers are going to show up. And Ramsay's going to get turned into a White Walker or something.
This is why it's so awesome, because each clan is battling on
everybody
two fronts.
Everybody has their own agenda,
Even if they don't know they're battling on two fronts.
Yeah.
They're going to be battling on two fronts and internal stuff.
Yeah. This show has a ton of depth. It's really, I know, Ian McShane got that funny, it's just tits and dragons. And a lot of people like to say, it's just boring, or, it doesn't do well by women, or whatever complaints you have about Game of Thrones. I think you got to at least give it up that this show knows what it's doing and does it very well.
Yes.
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
We are going to see Bran age 20 years.
Thing. Yeah.
It's going to be a 10-year-old who's shaving his mustache.
Yes.
I mean, we got Bran coming back. Hopefully Hordor comes back.
Yeah, we still haven't had any Hodor for a while.
The dragons are coming back.
Yeah.
I mean, everything, all the stuff, and then I guess they talked about the island where Theon's from.
Yeah,
Iron
Islands.
Back.
Iron Islands.
I mean,
obviously,
it's
we didn't mention Tyrion because there wasn't much to mention this episode.
But that was funny, though.
Funny.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was a very brief little bit with him. I'm like, they're holding off.
Yep. Tyrion and Varys, that's my favorite pair on the show. Well, so,
And them walking and talking and basically trying to get a lay of the land, which again, kind of like what you're saying about like how it maybe not have been super exciting, but we need that because Tyrion, before Tyrion to plot,
he
needs to know what's going on. And again, that's where these great shows allow the characters to give them space to think before they make their moves.
Yep.
And some people don't like it. Some people think it's boring, but I love it.
So do you guys want to discuss this again next week?
No. Show.
And the week after
Can you speak Game of Thrones all the time?
That's we're just going to change ourselves to the Game of Thrones dudes.
Game of Thrones dudes.
It's got a nice ring to it. And then we'll be done in 9 more episodes.
Got dudes. I like that.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to call it here for this week. Thank you guys for checking out our episode, and thank you guys for all the support over at Patreon, for over at iTunes, all the stuff you guys do for us. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate it. I want to say thank you, Randy, and thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Grant.
And I wanted to fish for a thank you from you guys. Yeah, and I got it. And until next week.
TV Dudes out.
You tell me, why's it gotta be so cold with you? When you gonna let this whole thing go? You just holding on to things we used to do. When you gonna open up the door? And why you wanna let this hold you down? If you don't wanna be held at all. You tell me, why's it gotta be so cold with you? When I wanna give you more, more, more. I must be crazy, crazy to be loving you. I must be crazy, crazy to be loving you. Crazier than you.
Podcast. It is exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and on Twitter at TV Dudes, and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening. Crazy to be loving you.